This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome everybody to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it is June 1st. We are turning the page on a calendar. I cannot believe it. We are here.
This is the sixth month of the year, and it feels like New Year's was yesterday. I don't even know what to do anymore.
I think it's because you're getting old, Hunter.
It might be. I struggled all weekend to remember my kids' actual names. I have so many of them now.
Well, I know when we talked on Thursday, you were talking about you may have gotten a tomahawk for your birthday. Mm-hmm. Did you get it? I did.
It was delightful. It fed me for a couple of days.
Nice.
As everyone else watched me eat it.
I love it. All right, we're going to jump in. We have got a busy, busy week, and then we've got some scheduling things we want to talk about later, too. But joining us right now in the third chair is TJ Sullivan, a show sponsor, Hagen Hamilton Insurance. And, of course, he's here to promote his community champions. And then joining him in, I guess, the fourth chair is Tom Phoney. He's the executive director of the Elsinore Theater. And there's so much to talk about with the Elsinore Theater. So, gentlemen, welcome to Newsmakers at Noon. We're delighted to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So thank you. The Elsinore, before we even went on air, we're all like remembering. I mean, we all have great memories of the Elsinore. I mean, I brought up the High Fever Follies and, the old school folks will remember all of that. But there is so much going on at the Elsinore.
Yeah, I think that we don't understand truly as a community how much economic impact the Elsinore has on Salem. And I was telling Tom, they did an Eagles tribute band and my wife and I came down just to have dinner that night.
Yeah.
We could not find a parking spot, right? So you're paying to park in downtown Salem now, so you could not find a parking spot. They were all full. Mm-hmm. And the first restaurant we go to, no room in the inn. Second restaurant we go to, no room in the inn. Third restaurant we go to, you have to sit at the bar if you want to eat. Okay, fine. So we took three restaurants. They were packed. And in talking to the wait staff, it makes a difference when the Elsinore does a show and they're half full. It absolutely jams up the restaurants in downtown Salem. And the wait staff, they know that they're going to be able to pay their rent that month. And you don't, I take that for granted. Like, I make my house payment every month. I take it for granted. But there are people who are young people that are like, oh, man, if the Elsinore could just have a show. Oh, tonight is Nick Offerman. Nick Offerman came to Salem, and downtown was lit up. I mean, and it hasn't always been that way.
Is that the guy from Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I love him.
He is fantastic. It was a great show. Downtown was alive. It was electric, and it was just a great feeling to walk through downtown and just see people. I mean, there was so much pedestrian foot traffic that High Street was people were like, nope, we're jaywalking, and it was great. And I mean, so people don't understand this jewel that we have, and Tom is absolutely 100% responsible for changing the whole vibe of the Elsinore from a sleepy time theater to something that is dragging people from Portland down to Salem.
Well, yeah, Hunter and I mentioned on Thursday because Hunter had a birthday, but Tom, so did the Elsinore.
Yes, we did. 100 years.
Woo!
And we celebrated in style. And so many people know the Elsinore. You know, as you said, the Follies. Mm-hmm. I saw Star Wars there the first time.
Yes.
I mean, we were created. The Elsinore was created for vaudeville, which to me was the ultimate entertainment. Then we went into silent films, which we still show. We showed one Thursday night. We have an organist and a fully intact Mighty Wurlitzer. The Mickey Mouse Club. I don't know if you know that we were possibly the first, but we were definitely the largest Mickey Mouse Club in this country.
I think I had heard that. That's a cool distinction.
There was a great article that Cappy Lynn wrote with all that history. And I've met people that still have their Mickey Mouse cards in their wallet. And, kids would line up, 1,400 kids would line up and come into the theater. I don't know if you know, but in 1926, there were 7 theaters within 2 blocks. And on any given night, they were full. And you know why? Because people couldn't sit down at their house and watch TV. Mm-hmm. And then once TV came around, it stopped us from gathering, right? We're down to two theaters now, the Grand and the Elsinore. And I'm amazed to think that Thursday night, 250 people were standing in the lobby and sitting in the theater doing exactly what they did 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And more so yesterday than today, everyone was dressed up. And I can tell you Thursday night, they were dressed up for our soiree. But think about 100 years of history.
Yeah.
We're still doing the same thing. And to me, showing like Marshall Tucker Band or I'm With Her, that was a great pop band we had Saturday night. The Elsinore is a place to gather. And people are still doing it.
Yeah.
And as TJ said, we used to show a lot of film and do a couple hundred people. Hey, we had full house both nights. 2,500 people came to see a show. Many of those people came from out of town. So it created some economic impact, but mostly it put people on the streets at 10 o'clock at night. And I think that's good. That's good for Salem. It's good for downtown.
It's good for, yeah. I mean, the tot dollars. So every time you rent a room in Salem, we used to call it butts in beds tax.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you pay the tax and then that the city collects that money and then they use it to help, you know, advertise other things in Salem to do and see. And so, you know, the Gilbert House and Bush House and a lot of the other, you know, historical societies, they rely on those tot dollars, a lot of which get generated by the Elsinore doing the things that they do. And, you know, there's a decision to make about, do we want to attract things like Marshall Tucker and, oh gosh, they could be rowdy. I remember, like, right? I mean, the decision to sell beer and wine and concessions, that was a decision that was not, I mean, for a long time, it was like, gosh, if we do that, somebody could spill and then we'd have to clean.
Oh, no.
And it's like, well, no, but you can bring in some acts that will attract lots of people to come into downtown Salem. And yeah, we may have to pay to clean the inside of the Elsinore. But it creates a vibrant downtown, and we have to have it. And that's why it is 100% a community champion. And I heard a rumor that Dolly Parton is going to be coming to Salem.
What? No. Is that true?
I cannot confirm or deny that. I did see something in the news about her reading program, which is marvelous. I can assure you she's not performing too much anymore. But
yeah.
Who knows who we could get? I mean, we got Nick Offerman, and that was 2,500 people in two shows. And you know who didn't get them was Portland or Eugene. So
all right.
We're proud of that. But one thing I wanted to point out that we're especially proud of, I mean, we used to show a lot of film, and now we're really going to focus on that silent film because we have the organ. I mean, we used to show film every Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that anymore because we're busy.
Yeah.
And the customer that comes in that's active for a show, they're going to go to dinner. They're probably going to go out and have a drink afterwards. And they're spreading their dollars downtown. I have to say, hey, I feed my team. We had a big dinner bill, a $400 dinner bill that night. I employed about 30 people on the show. Cascade Sound got some reinforcement. There was some hotels that were purchased, but I wanted to get back to what I think is important. Once a month on Tuesday afternoon, we show a film for adults with developmental disabilities.
Okay.
So when they're in high school, these kids have programs and places that they can go and activities, but once they age out, there's nowhere for them to go. So we started this program nearly 4 years ago. We don't tell people about it other than the people that come because it's not for us, it's for them. And I'm proud to say that the students are the ones that pick the film, and they're getting more than just a film. I mean, they get in for free, they get popcorn, they get soda, their caregiver gets in for free. But we've created a community there. And so they all look forward to seeing each other. They all talk to each other about the films and which ones they want to see. And so it's a really good experience for them. And happy to say last Tuesday we had 360 people that attended. So
that's awesome.
It's a great thing. And because of the success we're having with shows, we have the ability to do things like that that are not revenue generating. They're really for a reason, and it's to give those folks something to do.
It builds community in it.
Yeah.
My wife's cousin has a daughter who is developmentally disabled, and the thing that she always says is, like, you measure their day, like, in like, oh my gosh, what are they going to do for the next 2 hours? And, like, if you can find somebody to fill 2 hours of their time, that's a huge relief to the parents. And so, you know, if life matters and life is important, then all lives are matter and all lives are important. And creating something that matters to these kids is, and people who have aged out, because you're right, like, we care about you until you turn 18, and then we suddenly stop caring at a high level. And so the fact that you guys are doing that is a fantastic, I didn't even realize that, but that just makes me love the Elsinore even more.
Well, for me, it's so much that mentality of community, because we as a society have lost so much of that. Even if you go to a Regal Cinemas, you're not going to sit with the crowd. You're going to sit with your family and watch a movie on the big screen. That's all you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I just sit here and go, these community gatherings, the reasons for people to get together. You said it, you know, 100 years ago, people literally, that was the thing they did. Mm-hmm. Now it's sitting in your room by yourself watching television in the dark. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm just going, we need so much more of these community kind of events to really bring people out and remember what it's like to be part of a polite society.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, people always say, well, I don't know the Elsinore's website. So I've like Google it. Just type in Elsinore.
Oh, no, we'll put it in show notes. We'll link it up in show notes.
Yeah. But like what we can do, our response as a community back, we need, first of all, if there's a way for you to participate monthly and help you to support the Elsinore, that's one way. Second way is to invite your friends and neighbors. Hey, let's go see a show. Let's go out to dinner afterwards. Yeah. Let's support our community. Let's help to change the trajectory of people's lives by enjoying something. I mean, that's how you know you live in a great country, when you can go and enjoy something and help your neighbor at the same time.
And I should point out, there will be plenty of opportunities, as TJ said. I mean, go to the website and ElsinoreTheater.com. Spell theater the fancy way. That's
T-A-T-R-E.
But just so you know, we completed phase one of our remodel, which was the front of the building. We brought back the blade sign that blew off in 1962 and put that back up and really fixed up the front. And the natural next thing we should do is fix up the inside. And our seats, we have some original seats from 1926. Those are upstairs. But the rest of the seats were never new. Like, when we brought the new seats in 2004, they came from Regal Cinema up in Portland. Uh-huh. And so I think Salem deserves a theater with brand new seats.
Yeah.
A lot of our seats are falling apart, and we don't have replacement parts. After 100 years, we're still standing, and we're actually thriving. This town deserves a fancy theater, and I'm just talking about replacing the seats, a little better lighting. I want to fix the carpeting in the theater because it's old. But you'll have an opportunity. Of course, you can always support us on our website, but you'll have an opportunity to purchase a name plaque on a seat.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to kick that off in the next month. So you can actually own a piece of history. Your name will be on a gold placket forever. Well, as long as the seat lasts. So look for that on our website.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break. Can I hold you guys over for one more segment? Because I want to kind of talk about, kind of with an eye towards the future, what the next 100 years might look like for the Elsinore Theater. And then, TJ, I know you've been doing some stuff beautifying downtown. So, again, we're talking with Tom Fohn from the Elsinore Theater and TJ Sullivan with Hagen Hamilton Insurance, and he's a Newsmakers at Noon sponsor. We're going to take that break. We'll be right back. Come on back.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. We have a couple more minutes with TJ and Tom. So you just celebrated 100 years, Tom.
Yes.
What do the next 100 look like?
More of the same. I mean, Salem is growing. Salem's changing, and I can tell by the shows that we used to book that didn't sell that sell now. There's definitely more eyes on the theater, which is going to carry us, you know, into the next generation, provided leadership is making wise decisions on what will sell and what won't.
So a lot of times you've got people coming in and they're renting the space, like community events. They'll come in and rent the space, and then you have a staff that looks at what you think would be cool in Salem?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I've been in this business for a long time, and it really works in cycles. It has to do with who's where.
Yeah.
And yes, we do have renters. Probably half the shows we do are from renters. And I can tell you this, when I have a renter, I never lose. They might lose, but I don't lose. The better they do, the better we do.
Yeah.
When we take our own risks, it's usually an opportunity that gets presented to us and we decide yes or no, and that's all of our money and all of our risk. But the customer doesn't understand, and I get it, and every show we do isn't for everybody.
Sure.
Right? And the more variety we can have, it's the spice of life, and it brings in different people, and sometimes those people have different opinions. They actually might talk in the lobby.
What?
And get closer. But, I mean, Bonnie Raitt's coming up.
We have
Bonnie. Oh. I mean, we have 1,250 seats that sold out in about 40 minutes.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
She goes to the Gorge, 15,000 seats, and then Ben, 7,500 seats after that. Christopher Cross is the next day. That's on the 11th of June. And we've got about 150 tickets left of that one. A couple of great tribute bands, Nearly Dan playing Steely Dan, but this Hindley Street Country Club is an Australian cover band. But when I say good quality, that's for you folks to decide. I can tell you that they go around the country and play 1,000 to 1,500 seat rooms, and that doesn't happen by accident. But we also have Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience this summer, which is already doing great. Jane Lynch, she canceled last year on us, but she's coming back, and that show's at the end of August. But really, you need to keep your eyes on the website because we're constantly putting up new shows. One I'm excited about is Peter Billingsley with the Christmas Story.
Oh, my gosh,
he's coming in December, but I also, John Lovitz is a comedian from Saturday Night Live.
And yeah.
That's fresh news because that's not announced yet, but that show will be in September. So you gotta look at the website, elsinoretheater.com, to keep up or get on our mailing list, and we won't overblast you. We'll send you a note when we have shows going up so that you get early access.
Nice. So, TJ, you've been doing a lot of work downtown. I saw that a lot of I think the last time we had you on, talking about beautifying downtown Salem with those amazing flower baskets. How'd that go?
Yeah, that was a lot of work. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
When they brought them down, Green Acres did a great job of getting the baskets for us. But they had like iron rings that were slipping onto the brackets downtown. And I mean, they were, I bet those just the everything was like, 35 to 80 pounds each basket. So getting them 10 feet up in the air on a ladder. I brought my strapping young son to help.
Yeah, good.
Because I was like, hey, bud, I don't know that I could do this all morning. But we got him up in an hour. We had a great team. Ashley Rudisill and Derek Gilbert from our board really were instrumental in helping us get these baskets up. But it made a difference. You know, we pressure washed all the sidewalks in downtown.
We removed
all the leaves, all the debris that falls. And so it has made a difference in the overall cleanliness of downtown. I keep telling everybody that is in business downtown that our competition is Bridgeport. It's the Woodburn Outlet Mall. So we have to think differently about, you know, how clean we keep our downtown. And sometimes, you know, you got to take on the work yourself to.
Yeah.
The businesses have stepped up and they have supported our flower basket program. We're employing youth through Isaac's Room. So we've got, and there's actually an educational component that goes with the employment. So they're learning about entrepreneurship, what it takes to own and run a business, payroll taxes, workers' comp,
joy.
all the fun stuff, in addition to, you know, learning how to water and fertilize flower baskets in downtown Salem. So it's overall, it's a great program. The baskets are bodacious, and
I was going to use voluptuous, but bodacious works too.
Yeah, they are. They're a lot of fun. I was impressed when we got them, and it does add a lot of color and vibrancy to our downtown, which is what Main Street exists for. So
yeah, and Salem's always had that quirky, that little great little stores. I mean, and then I saw the Forge. There was a ribbon cutting for the Forge, so there's that down there.
Yep.
And of course, things are changing. I mean, the Salem Center Mall is sort of not really what it used to be, but it sounds like the business community is really stepping up, and I like, you know, the volunteer aspect of it. And then, of course, with the Elsinore Theater being down there, and then sort of sharing the love among all the other businesses, it's very encouraging. It's really exciting.
It used to be that all the good restaurants were on High Street, and we still have a great collection of restaurants on High Street, but now, you know, there are restaurants in the Forge. We went to, there was a dumpling shop down there.
Ooh,
no room in the inn when we went to go to, so we had to walk around the corner to go to Cozy's to eat it, which is great too. Cozy's, what a fantastic problem to have.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, we are almost out of time. What a pleasure to have you both on, Tom. I hope it's not. Hope it's just the first time.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I said, we will link everything up and put that website in the show notes for everybody to go check it out. Again, TJ Sullivan, Hagen Hamilton Insurance, and Tom Phone from the Elsinore Theater. TJ, you've got your community champions PSAs going out. And
yep,
so people
do.
Be sure to listen for that. And you'll learn more about that. TJ does that every month. And so we're coming up on a hard break at the bottom of the hour. So come on back after the news.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon and your downtown flower baskets brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Did you see them? I mean, they're gorgeous.
I haven't had a chance to get down there. I will tomorrow. I will be heading downtown, so I will peek up and check out these flower baskets. I know, you know, they do such an amazing job with the decor and the landscaping and everything else they do. I have every reason to believe these are going to be magnificent.
I know. I love how TJ's favorite word is bodacious, because I was like, they're voluptuous. They're very, very full-figured flowers, and they're quite beautiful. I really appreciated what Tom had to say as far as, you know, the different acts that come in. We have lost the monoculture, where I think you made a really good point about people coming together, and you kind of have to, you have your differences, and, you know, you can hash them out over a beer in the lobby there, and but it's nice to have acts that are, you know, some people may like it, some people may not. Broaden your horizons, go and see. Comedians, again, are sort of the ones you really want them to be able to be pretty free to speak, because you need to skewer those or barbecue those sacred cows.
Well, and that's the thing is during the commercial break, Tom was talking a little bit about, you know, he'll have some very leftist comedians in, very right-wing comedians in, and people get upset. And I'm kind of going, but it's comedy. If you don't like an act, you don't go see an act. If you like an act and you want to support it, you know, this isn't about, you know, creating division. This is about bringing people together. And the arts, theater, music, comedy, they should all be bringing people together, because they are more than a political side of an aisle.
Exactly. And, like I said, I've been to political things. And I don't even know if this is political. I mean, I remember seeing Marcus Luttrell there, known survivor. Mm-hmm. Of course, the movie with, who was in that? I don't remember. Yeah. But, and then Taya Kyle, Chris Kyle's wife, American Sniper. And so they really run the gamut. And, of course, the High Fever Follies, which I have a soft spot for. And I remember those chairs. He was talking about them being from, like, the 20s. They're very narrow. Mm-hmm. They're not made for the today's.
Are you saying that society was different physically in the 20s? Is that weird?
People were skinnier.
Oh, weird how that happened.
But so just kind of build on that, because last week we were talking about and really kind of questioning the lineup of the America 250, kind of the state fair kind of feel for it. Mm-hmm. And some of the artists, and I since heard a lot of other talking heads and everybody out there kind of having the same take on it as we did, like especially with Milli Vanilli. There's still a thing.
Well,
what?
So my understanding, I actually looked into this a little bit. One half of Milli Vanilli passed away.
I know.
But the other half is
Fab.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The other member has kept the rights, kept the name. Yeah. So it is it's him and I believe now another person or two or whatever it is. So it's still Milli Vanilli technically and legally, but it will not be the original duo.
Okay, because I think it was Rob Morvan, I think. He was the one with the beautiful green eyes, and he did pass away. He had a very troubled life. That whole, what happened to them, that was really pretty awful. But so now we're hearing, well, I don't know. This is getting kind of political, and I think the first one to bail was old Martina McBride, who really never had any problem playing for Democrat presidents, but apparently this one's a little bridge too far for
Well, I just sit here and I saw an article, I believe, initially it was like four acts pulled out of this thing, and the Commodores being one, and a few, Young MC and a few others, and they're citing, well, when we signed up for this, it wasn't supposed to be political, and now it's gotten political, and I kind of go, the timing is really odd, because you knew who the president was, you knew this was the 250th birthday of the United States of America. They announce your name as part of the lineup, and within 48 hours, you're backing out because all of a sudden it became political, which tells me that I know who the political side of this thing is putting the pressure on you to not be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to give props to Vanilla Ice Man, because he's like, it's patriotism. Well, and that's what all these artists, again, who have not had any billing. This is probably more attention than a lot of them have gotten in a long time. And Martina McBride really stepped in it. She had a really kind of really ridiculous statement. And I know she did the song Independence Day, and that's about domestic violence. It's not about patriot. But anyway, I just think what a missed opportunity and what a shame that these people just sort of like, oh, we can't do it.
Well, yeah, I'll give a lot of kudos to Vanilla Ice, because his statement, it hits it right on the head. He says, you know, music is more, it's bigger than politics. It is bringing us together. It's about celebration. And it is, to try and put this political spin on it simply because of who the president is in our 250th birthday. And he's not going for it. On her side, Martina McBride's side, I'm going, my understanding, she's played for the Clintons. She's played for Obama. She's played for Biden. She played for the DNC. And yet this is a bridge too far, which tells me really a lot of these acts that are pulling out, they're just scared.
Well, yeah, no guts, no glory. So, okay, bye, Martina. Well, I was never a fan, but
they're the ones.
CNC Music Factory's still in it, I think.
They're the ones that are going to back out, and they're going to be the ones that feel the real ramifications. I mean, you look at it, you know, whoever is performing at these major events that occur throughout, you know, whether it's the Super Bowl or anything else, they always get a big bump in buys and sales and listenership. Well, these groups now have said, because of this loud minority, we're going to forego that bump under the guise of, you know, we're going to boycott you. And I'm going, but when you realize that the loud minority is just that, they're a loud minority and they're not the ones buying your music anyway. Exactly. You're going to sit there and go, oh, whoops, look, a little egg on my face.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go in the wise words of Michael Jordan. Well, Republican spies sneakers too.
Maybe by the 300th birthday, they'll have rethought their position.
Well, yeah. Anyway, it's a missed opportunity, unfortunately. I wanted to talk about too, because I saw this post and I got Ed Deal. Remember during one of the forums, I think it was the K2 forum. Again, no debates happened. Saying that regardless of the outcome, regardless of who won, he wanted to have a unity event. Well, they had the unity event, and all of the candidates were there. Danielle Bethel was there via phone because she had a former engagement. Saw a lot of people trying to make hay out of that. It's like, knock it off.
Yeah.
She had another, it was a quickly put together. She had something else. So they were there. She joined virtually, and all the other candidates were there, and it was a GOP unity luncheon. And hats off. That's how it's got to be. Everybody's got to get on the same page. The candidate is Christine Drazen, and get behind her. Certainly vote for her. Mm-hmm. But I like this. I was really happy to see this, and happy to see the comments were really very positive. A lot of people are like, yes.
Yes. Seeing a few people that attended said it was a marvelous event. You know, the photos that I saw were, Chris Dudley, Ed Deal, and David Medina all there. Mm-hmm. And remember, this is all the things we talked about beforehand. You know, in terms of we need to bring it all together. And unlike 4 years ago, when after the primaries, all of a sudden it fragmented into 6, 7, 8 different camps. No, we need to bring these camps together, because that's the only way we're going to make a change in this state.
Yep, and it's a unique opportunity this time around to do that. So I was very pleased to see that. You've still got a couple people chiming in, you know, I'm not going to, whatever. Okay, I mean, nothing would move you anyway. But I think this sets a really positive, good tone moving forward. And, you know, kind of looking back when we were talking to TJ and Tom, the positive, you get in there, the work needs to be done, you get in there and you do it. And so I like this. I think it's going to energize the base. We got many, many months to go here. But this is a really, really good start. So kudos to all the candidates. Kudos to Rep Deal for putting this together and for everybody showing up. That's great.
Yeah, no, I am happy. I am impressed. And it's what, sadly, Oregon has needed every election cycle after a primary election for the last 40 years. And it seems to never happen. And yet here we are now with a unique opportunity. And really that feeling, and like we said, is so much of this that we're making politics out of. Mm-hmm. Isn't. I mean, even, you know, there was an interview, Bill Maher, extreme leftist, interviewed Spencer Pratt.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, politics aside, I like the guy. And he's speaking real. He's not speaking politics.
Exactly. He said, I'm supposed to hate him, and I don't. I like him. And I was watching, you're seeing a lot of really great, again, these videos and these ads that are coming up, that a lot of them are not coming from him. They're from other people doing it. And you mentioned that tomorrow is the primary in California. Mm-hmm. I saw a poll. He's up by a couple of points. So within the margin of error, it would be absolutely an earthquake. Ha ha. No pun intended in California for him to take this. And I've seen a lot of men on the streets and people. First, you've got and a lot of them are, you know, liberal women. Excuse me. Now I just can't know. It's got to be. It's like when he's the candidate of use your eyes and look around you. That's all the campaign I need to do.
Yeah.
And there's certain people that just will not break out of that.
So I actually saw a video yesterday, I believe it was, which was absolutely hysterical because they had taken, I don't know if it was Spencer Pratt's camp or somebody like you said, and it was virtually done in Legos because we know how much Legos are loved, but it was kind of Lego... Lego movie, Lego movie theme-ish, and it was to the song, you know, everything is awesome from the Lego movie. No, it's everything is awful.
Yeah.
And I was cracking up, and I go, what a great way to create kind of an excitement, and like, I want to support this guy. When you're that inventive, and whether it's him or somebody else, I'm just going, it's showing everything.
I wish I could vote for him.
And that's right. I would. I'd happily.
Yeah, there was another.
Send me a ballot, California.
I know. Can we just, let's everybody road trip down to California so we can cast a ballot. They don't check ID down there anyway. So it'll be interesting to follow that. There are primaries all over the country tomorrow, but this one is the big one that everybody's watching. And of course, they have like a jungle primary down there for the governor. I think Steve Hilton is kind of coming out on top of that one. And that's ranked choice voting. Nobody can understand it.
No, well, that's the point. You're not supposed to understand it. It's so that it can benefit one party and not the other. Let's just put it that way.
Which is why they had to take out, what's his name? Fang Swalwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy. Oh.
Remember him? Remember him?
He who will not be named. Is that who you're talking about?
Let's go ahead and take our last break. I want to come back. The current governor made a strategic political move over the weekend. So let's talk about that because that's kind of interesting. So again, you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denison Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, so over the weekend, Tina Kotek came out pretty strongly against IP-28. I have to tell you, I have conversations with people outside of Oregon, all over the country, going, what are you people doing? I'm like, it's probably not going to pass. But the fact that it is probably going to be on the ballot, oh, which means there are 120,000 people who thought this is a good idea.
Well, so... I have to get a drink of water on this one it's so crazy. Okay. So, I mean, I understand that, you know, they got 120,000 signatures really presenting it as anti-animal cruelty.
Right.
So
who could be against that?
The petitioner, you know, the petition, the signature collectors, they kind of misrepresented what this truly is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll look at that one. And then I sit here and go, reality is this is Oregon, where if in the ballot it is presented as anti-animal cruelty, It is going to be very contentious unless groups get out there and spend the money to inform the public of what this truly is about.
And all we have to do is look back to the 90s, 1990 specifically, and remember the little spotted owl. Mm-hmm. And you had people, they basically destroyed an industry, the logging industry, destroyed it. Lives were ruined. You know, now we have to import timber when we have the most timber and the, you know, and voters did that. Mm-hmm. And it was a activist, bad actors spiking trees. making law. I mean, I remember all that time. I'm actually reading a book right now called Oregoners and trying to work with the author to have him on the show to talk about it. But I just remembering that time. And so that's Oregonians did that. We basically ruined the biggest industry
in the state
for a bird.
Yep. Well, in a bird that the industry had nothing to do with. That's the Correct. Other because of yep. misinformation, bad info. Mm-hmm.
Lies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I just sit here and I go, and that's what worries me about this one. With the governor coming out adamantly against IP-28, which you can almost know she's going to, because anything that ultimately is going to be unpopular at this point, she got the tax thing off of the ballot. Mm-hmm. So yep. she is going to remove every potential black eye she could get. Okay.
Right. Because she's her. I think Christine Drazen is out there. She's not. She's saying it's her allies, because it's not. Tina Kotek's not behind this.
No.
But this is potentially. I mean, like you said, if there needs to be money spent on what this actually is, mm-hmm. and we've talked about it a lot, and everybody knows. I mean, it's no more hunting, no more animal husbandry. That would be sexual assault, literally inseminating. It's like
no more having your own chickens. No more. You know, virtually.
Want to kill that mouse that's in your pantry? Sorry. You know, make you better, a bed for it because he's moving in.
That's right. And I just sit here. And I go, and that's the part that worries me, because I have a feeling that what's going to happen is the wording on this thing on the ballot is going to be peachy keen and all about we need to protect animals and no cruelty and no this and that. And then the far side is not going to spend any money bringing this to the forefront. They're, especially now that the governor has said she's against it, now they're going to just let it slide and let it go and see what people will do on simply the lack of information. So now it is on the other side, and this has always been our biggest complaint with the gun lobby. When there's things attacking guns in the state of Oregon, why are we not spending time and money making that a bigger issue? Instead, it's like, let's just let it go, see how things happen, and then we'll fight it later. No, we don't have the ability to fight this later at this point.
And it's so expensive. And yeah, you bring up Measure 114, that back in 2022. I remember seeing the numbers come down from that. And it wasn't a mandate. It squeaked by. Mm-hmm. But now it's been wrapped up in court. And so you've got litigation. We've talked to Tony Aiello Jr., who's an attorney who's been dealing with a lot of this. And you don't want to be on that end of it. You want to stop it before it even gets there. Mm-hmm. But it makes me concerned, again, looking back in through the Wayback Machine to the spotted owl. And then there was the cougar debate back in the day where there was misrepresentation about that. And so all you saw were, you know, sad Sarah McLachlan music, like those shelter ads where you've got a sad-eyed cougar and barking hounds. And I mean, and you know, again, they're all very emotional. They don't understand the whys behind it. They don't understand any of that. You're going to have people who are sipping their lattes in Portland making decisions for ranchers in Baker City. It's just no.
Well, and I just sit here and go, what happens to Eastern Oregon?
Yeah,
in the ranching industry and in the milk production and everything else, and even closer to home, what happens if this thing manages to squeak through? Because you can guarantee, as much as Tina says she's against it today, if she wins re-election and this passes, she's not going to do anything to make it easier to get rid of it.
No, and again, then you're locked in. I mean, it would be. There'd be an injunction on it immediately, but why the headaches? Why does it have to be so hard? That's the thing. It's always so hard. Don't let these things go through. First of all, these people should never have signed the petition. Yeah. You don't have to sign a petition just because somebody sticks it in your face.
I had one a couple of years ago handed to me, and it had something to do with legalizing pot or drugs or something along those mm-hmm. lines. And I'm like, yeah, no thanks. I'm with my kids. We're not here to get high. So we're just going to go about our day.
Well, and the other thing that's on, I think they're still gathering signatures, the Let Us Paddle, as far as, you know, let's charge you money to put your tube in the river, mm-hmm. you know, or your wakeboard or your standing, whatever those things are called, paddleboard. Oh, wow. And because one of the things, the last solace for people is Oregon's beautiful, and I can get out there and blow off some steam hiking, or, you know, floating down the river with a sixer or whatever. Well, no.
I have that conversation on a regular basis with people, and it's just like, yeah, Oregon is one of the most gorgeous states in the nation.
Truly.
It is, you know, it is not as dreary as Washington State is. It is not as hot as California or Arizona is. You can have literally six seasons in a day if you plan it right. You have the coast, you have the mountains, you have the high desert, you have the woodland areas, you have waterfalls, you have all of these amazing things. And yet they want to tax you out of actually enjoying anything that Oregon has to offer that should be free and enjoyable and is a reason for people to live here.
Right. It makes being taxed to death and all the insanity a little bit bearable. There's a funny, and it's called the Coustucky Chronicle. And a friend posted this morning, and it is satire, but it's actually like, is it though? Is it satire?
Well, this free day is coming up on the 6th of June. So there is a free day to utilize the state parks in Oregon on June 6th. And that means, you know, the day use parking that you're normally charged for. But then they also broke down all of these other little charges, and they put little funny things, you know, daily charges, visitor charges, you know, different memberships and things like that. And it's just funny the way she put it out there.
It's funny, and it's like you're going to get, in plain English, Oregon is offering a one-day free trial of land that you already helped pay for. So they've got daily outside is $10 for Oregon residents who want to park, look at water, and explain to their kids why public land has a cover charge.
Yeah, and if you're an outside visitor, a.k.a. coming from out of state, you know, if you thought Oregon was beaches, trees, and fog, then you found out that they put a toll on the moss.
An annual dirt membership is $60 for locals who prefer paying ahead for land they already fund all year.
And then the non-resident annual dirt membership is $75 because Oregon saw a California plate and started sweating dollar signs.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Outside has a paywall. It's actually really funny. I'm going to bookmark this site because, like I said, I had not seen them. But it is, yeah, when you're I'm having to pay to throw my tube in the water. Mm-hmm. Something's, yeah, no.
Well, and then she said, outside is a paywall. The ocean's still free, but unless you can levitate over the parking lot like a shirtless wizard from Lakeside, you're paying. You want to stand near a cliff? Pay up. You want to show your kids the waves? $10. Want to breathe coastal air without a permit? Keep your voice down before Salem hears you.
And it's funny, again, it's hard to tell satire anymore, really, because it's like, really? This could be? Yeah. So anyway, you're going to get that free trial day so you can take the kids, take a sandwich, take grandma if her knees still have one more short acres trip left in them. Because Sunday morning, Oregon puts outside back behind the paywall.
Just make sure you don't tie two inner tubes together or else you're still going to pay even on free day.
I know. So I know there is an effort to try to rein that insanity back. But yeah, so gosh, elections really do have consequences.
Well, it's why, you know, let's give different a chance. Okay, let's give a different thought pattern an opportunity. Let's have some unity. Let's do all this stuff.
Yeah. What have you got to lose?
Yeah, at this point, what's the worst thing a governor does is say, let's not charge you as much for your daily breathing.
Yes. And so, again, kudos to the Republicans for a unifying message. So, get out there. She's the nominee. Get out there and vote for her.
Yeah. Well, you got to wait a little while. It's still November.
I know. I'm all excited. All right, everybody. That's it for us today. We got a great show planned for you tomorrow. We'll see you then.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.